Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 349, recorded on January 20th, 2018. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. My name is Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, and it's great to be hanging out with you.
It's good to be hanging out. Yeah, I drank coffee. I'm down to one cup a day, and I drink a second
cup. But it's a really, really big cup?
Yeah, it's as big as my living room. So I had my second cup, and I'm, you know, that thing where like you want to be more awake, but you just, your heart rate just increases. That's me right now. I'm that skeleton on the, freaking out on the chair. So that's me. Adam Christensen,
getting heart rate alerts on your Apple Watch yet?
I wish. I have not yet gotten that. I seriously wish, as soon as I heard about that feature, I was like, oh yeah, next time I see a real pretty lady walk by and I'm like not doing anything, I'm not exerting myself in a reasonable manner, I was thinking that would go off, and it hasn't. It's BS. I'm disappointed in that feature. Apparently I'm not unhealthy enough.
I think that's it.
Okay.
Or you don't watch football.
I do not. That's true.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Apparently there was some game last week that was so exciting in the last minutes that the heart rate sensor alert went off for a lot of people.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Funny.
That's awesome.
Okay. I can't remember which game though. I'm trying to remember.
Do you think there was a spike in Hawaii?
Ooh, yeah, there was. You know there was.
Yeah, some people were freaking out.
Yeah, all right. Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
Something's going on with the dog, though, and I'm the only one home, so I don't know what that's all about.
Hopefully it's not a big issue. So
somebody walked by outside.
We got a couple interesting little things to talk about. The first is that we got a little bit more information from Tim Cook about the power management stuff going on in iOS. So we talked about last week how Apple will soon include some indication in the battery settings that indicates that your battery is... I guess unhealthy or below the 80% threshold, and that you would be throttled for it, or I guess decreased performance. Let's say
decreased performance.
Yeah. So, but he said yes, this is coming. But he added to that that there will also be a way to opt out of the decreased performance setting.
That seems like a really bad decision.
I think so too. It seems irresponsible, honestly, because to me, it's the way I see this going down in a bad way is my grandmother has an iPad and she doesn't know what she's doing with it. And every time anybody realizes that she has an iPad, some like, you know, grandchildren or, you know, nephews or, you know, whoever, when they realize that she has an iPad, they immediately take it from her and say, oh, you need to change all of these things.
Okay. And then they totally screw it up for her.
Yes. Yes.
She doesn't know how to fix it.
Yeah. 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 So I can totally see that happening. I can see my mother even does these sorts of things where she's just like, my phone's acting weird. And she gets it in her head like, oh, I need to disable, like, I don't know, notifications for everything. And so she goes and then wonders why.
Phone data.
Yeah. And wonders why, like, things are even weirder. And so I had to do this with her over Christmas. I just like erased all of her settings and started over because it was too much. Like she had spent hours clearly like scrolling through and like unchecking everything. So I can totally see this is an irresponsible thing. I hope that they put it behind at least a phone passcode barrier, you know?
And multiple layers deep.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, this is like if you have a 5-year-old and and they're sick. And so they need to have some medicine, but it tastes really bad. So, So they need to just take it and it'll be fine, and they're going to be fine, and it doesn't taste as bad as they think. But if you say, well, you know, if you don't want to take it, I'm not going to make you, they're going to say, fine, don't give it to me. And now they're sick.
Yeah.
That wasn't the best analogy.
No, but, I thought it was.
No, I get the point. Like, and that makes the point, right? It's like you need a new battery. You just need to get a new battery, and then we'll make your performance better.
Yeah,
but tell them, oh, well, we'll let you use this bad, defective battery, you know, as long as you click this button.
And let your phone keep crashing. And, that's a really, really bad decision.
Well, and that brings up another point is how are they going – are they going to explain to people in any way that by enabling that option – they're potentially subject to crashing and other issues with their device?
I would assume so, but that sure doesn't feel very Apple to me.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, none of this sounds Apple. It's honestly, I mean, it's one of those things that is, you know, we always say, oh, Apple should give us more choice and more choice. At least, you know, that's what the haters throw out there. And then, you know, finally they're giving more choice, but it's a really bad choice.
And that's the point here, and that's actually in my mind sort of the bigger story, is that this is something that a lot of people asked for. I actually got this when this whole story broke. I got this from a lot of people. They're like, well, why didn't they just give us an option if we want to not have our systems throttled? That's what I want. I want an option. And I have a feeling a lot of that feedback made its way back to Apple and a part of the decision in putting this functionality in is, hey, we're listening to our customers, and this is what our customers have told us they want. And that's, you know, Apple doesn't do that. I mean, they haven't done that in the past, at least not to a large degree. You know, on certain things, yes, you know, they obviously listen to customer feedback when there's a really big screw up. But on something like this, where it's a intentional and deliberate and frankly smart technical thing to do, I think all they needed to do is be transparent about it and give more transparency that when your battery is needing replacement, that they're like, hey, you really need to replace this battery. But I don't think, you know, I'm kind of with you guys, I don't think giving this toggle is going to be the good choice. I think they're going to open themselves up for all kinds of other problems with people who don't understand what they've done, and they're going to be in at the Genius Bar going, well, my phone's crashing all the time.
Yeah. And it's like, and there's going to be a warning that told them your phone's going to crash, and they're going to be completely unaware of it because they just press okay to everything.
And then there'll be the lawsuits about how Apple is doing this to force people to do upgrades.
Yeah. You know, this must have come out of the
PR. They already have all those lawsuits right now.
I know, but now with even more lawsuits.
Yeah.
Yeah, even including like Spectre and stuff, which is just obnoxious. Like Apple willfully put these defective processors in. Well, like, what do you want? A frickin' abacus, you know?
Fun times, fun times.
That's good times. Now this definitely seems
but I guess the ending point that I have is a lot of people are going to be happy that this option is in there. It's just really interesting to see Apple kind of, tweaking something just because a bunch of people want it. And I don't know if that's a sign of further things to come. And if it is, I worry about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like if this trend continues, it's like we can just whine and complain and ask for whatever feature we want. And Apple just, okay, we'll throw it in. That doesn't feel like a good path to me.
No, that feels like a really bad path to me.
Yeah. okay. Yeah. So this is coming in a developer build sometime next month. For what it's worth, Apple has seeded the seventh beta of iOS 11.2.5 to developers and public beta testers.
Yeah, they're coming fast and furious.
Fast and furious. And it is believed that this may be the last before they release it.
I would think so, because it's only been, has it even been a week since we got six? Feels like it's about a week.
It's, yeah, they're coming fast.
Maybe less.
I
just realized as we were starting the show that the beta 7 was available.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I installed that last night. Yeah.
You guys are doing betas?
I'm doing developer beta, yes.
Mm. I did it accidentally, and I haven't turned it off.
So is
I keep forgetting that I have the beta set, the beta profile on my iPhone, and then it's like, oh, you use beta update. No. Oh, okay.
Okay. So is battery life improved?
I haven't had any issues with battery life.
Hmm. My battery has been going down since iOS 11, I think.
On your
7.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I was talking about this on the Mac show, cuz I'm not super enamored with my 10. Like, I'm kind of wishing I still had an 8 or a 7.
Yeah.
Some days there's a lot of like weird I'm still not used to the new swipe gestures, and I thought that would be like an easy transition, and it's turned out not to be. I absolutely hate, well, I shouldn't say hate, that's too strong a word. I am not enjoying Face ID versus Touch ID.
Wow.
At all.
Face ID is degrading for me.
It works 50% of the time on the first shot, and I'm always having to do these weird gyrations to get it to unlock with my face and not have to put in my passcode.
Yeah, mine used to give me really good accuracy, but I've noticed in the last couple of weeks, I'm down to, I'd say 50% of the time it works.
Yeah. Well, and so people know, okay, because people are going to be, well, you need to enter the passcode because it'll do the learning thing. Yes, I know that, and I do that. The problem with it is that it needs specific distances from your face. It needs specific angles. A great example of where I find Face ID completely frustrating is in the car. Because it's way over, you know, where my phone is mounted is nowhere near my face. And so there's things I used to be able to do. And I'm not even talking about when you're driving, right? It's in a holder over there. I'm pulled over. Now I need to put my face up there. I've got to like lean over, or I've got to pick up the phone. It's just extra movements. It's extra act. It's just not as elegant. It works. And when it works great. But when it doesn't work, it's super frustrating. So that's the thing with Face ID. But to get back to the battery thing, what I was saying is that the one huge thing, there's two huge things that I love about it, and I'm glad I have this. One's the camera, and that's the main reason I wanted it, because I like this size, and I wanted the dual lens camera system. And so the 10 is the only option for that, if you want those two things together. But the other thing for me is battery life has been amazing. I will forget to plug it in, and I have gone 2+ days with my normal usage with the iPhone 10 and not even realized it. And then it's like midway through the second day, I get the low battery warning. It's like, oh, I haven't plugged this in like 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. And all I can think is that's because it's the OLED display. Now, that's as long as I'm not doing a lot of video watching, or I'm not doing any like AR kit stuff, obviously. You know, there's certain things. And if I'm not doing out running around doing like GPS stuff, I'm talking about normal phone calls, surfing the web, checking emails, doing text, doing Twitter, doing Slack, all that sort of stuff. That kind of usage I can easily get through like a couple days, which has just blown me away. So no, I'm not having battery issues. That's my super long answer to your question.
Yeah, that's impressive. Yeah, that's definitely not me. I can almost get through the day.
Ew. Yuck. It's not good.
I can almost get through a long day. It kind of depends on the usage, but I guess it's like I listen to a lot of podcasts, and that just, it just likes batteries. Podcasts like those batteries.
Have you tried different apps? I'm curious. Do you use the built-in podcast app?
You know what? That might be, that is definitely a difference for sure, because I used to use the Apple Podcasts app, and now I use Casts because I hate the new podcast app.
Yeah, the Apple Podcast app is kind of sucky.
It used to be fine, and now I can't do it. And yeah, so maybe that's
maybe it. There's a little more overhead, you know, in that, in doing that with a third party app. I don't know.
Well, just the way that they're doing it, yeah. Well, and I also it's kind of between 29%. Let's see here again. In the last 7 days, about 19% has been music, and then 12% has been from Pocket Casts. And then there's just, you know, other stuff here and there. So
yeah. I finally ordered a wireless charger, so hey.
Cool.
We'll see how that goes.
Cool story.
Yeah, they had a great deal on the cheap Anker one at Amazon with a coupon from, it was good, like 12, they were $12 each. I've got two of them.
Nice. Yeah, I have one. It's not Anker, but I have one on my desk.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like it because when I sit down at my desk to work, I just set my phone on the wireless charger puck.
Right.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
So I'm looking forward to trying that out. We'll see how it goes. It's just a little 5-watt. I didn't get the fast charging one, but I couldn't pass up the price.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good deal.
So I'm hoping that, I guess to wrap up the beta thing, I'm hoping that 11.2.5 makes me a little happier battery-wise, because it seems like they just have been working on bug fixes and tweaks. Although there's the Siri podcast thing
that I where you ask for news and it just starts loading up different podcasts.
So
that wasn't a beta thing, though. That went out to everybody, I think. That was a server side.
Right. Okay, but do you have to have the podcasts app installed for that? Because I don't. When I ask Siri for that.
Yes, because I think it goes through the podcasts app. But is the podcast app being removed like the same way mail gets removed when you remove it, where it's not really removed?
Well, I mean, that's irrelevant, because if you remove the FaceTime app, for example, then you can't FaceTime people. It will not allow you.
Well, you should try it.
Reinstalling.
Did you try it?
I did try.
The news thing?
I tried it. What do you have to ask? Could you please tell me the news or something like that? And she'll be like, okay, here. And then here's an option to press this play button. Is that the idea?
No, it just launches the podcast app and starts playing.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have the podcast app, so that makes a lot of sense. Problem solved.
Would it open up Casts? I'm just curious.
No, it does not. It does not.
Okay, so it didn't work for you when you tried it.
Correct. That is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And that would be why. Yeah, you need the podcast app.
Yep. Apple also seeded the fifth beta of watchOS 4.2.2 to developers. And I do not recommend putting betas on your watch, because if you don't want it anymore or if it goofs, then you have to wait to have your watch. Because they still can't restore it at the store, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, they have to send your watch off.
Yeah. But I'm sure that'll come out probably the same day that 11.2.5 does. So give it some time. All right. So HomePod stuff.
HomePod.
It looks like HomePod may be shipping in the next month or so. Yeah. So according to the Taipei Times, Inventec has begun shipping about a million units of HomePods to Apple. And we were expecting HomePod at the end of last year, right?
That's a lot of units.
They're expecting
a million. To me, seems like what you do is your first run before you know to test your mass production process before you really commit.
Mm.
Well, I'm pretty sure a lot of the speculation from analysts when Apple announced the HomePod was they were expecting when it went on to sale in December that the first year of sales would be really good if Apple sold 4 million of them.
Huh.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind that they're supposed to be making about half the HomePods. So right. I think it's Foxconn is making the other half.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't think the HomePod's going to be a huge, huge seller. I mean, if a million sounds like a lot to me. I don't know.
I thought so too. Yeah.
So assume that's really 2 million, because that's
The point is I don't think that with that many, if there's really that many already in this or going into the supply chain for launch, I don't think we're going to have problems with shortages or being able to go into a retail store to buy one.
I believe you. Absolutely.
Yep.
It's especially after what I was seeing at CES this year. It just it feels like HomePod doesn't have the relevance that it needs to sell in a significant way.
Right. Well, and if you compare it to, like, you know, what did they have for the iPhone 10 launch? They had, it was rumored they maybe had that many, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, you know, and then a typical iPhone launch, they would have about 12 million units. And you think they sell, what is, I can't remember how many iPhones Apple sells in a year now. Is it above 100 yet? Around 80 million?
It's definitely a massive metric buttload.
Yeah. So just like if you're comparing those things, 2 million on a product that is really going to be kind of niche and it's at a high price point and there's a lot of alternative options, competitive options between Bose and Sonos and even, you know, Echoes. Yeah, I think that... It sounds like when I heard a million, I'm like, oh, cool. I'm not going to have trouble getting one. It's sort of my thing.
Yeah.
The stuff that I saw at CES for the Echo, the A-Lady devices, there's a lot of really good stuff from a lot of really good companies. So you can get nice speakers with A-Lady built in for... a lot less than a HomePod. And,
yeah. Yep.
And we've gone through the holiday season where Apple really needed to have this thing out. And it just feels to me like the market has moved on.
Well, everybody's, the other thing is when the HomePod launches, everybody is, you know, the majority of people talking about it, reviewing it, are going to get it completely wrong anyway, because they already don't get it. Right. Because it's not in any way, shape, or form meant to go up against, you know, Echoes.
Yeah, that's true, and that's a problem because what people want is a device that goes up against the Echo, and that's not what Apple made.
Yep. Well, that's what they think they want because that's the only thing that is really out there. And you know it's kind of interesting, and I think I've discovered my next Raspberry Pi project actually.
Do tell.
Yeah, so I really like using AirPlay, and I've got this great old stereo system. And by old, I don't mean like, you know, tubes and stuff, but it's very massive. And if you take it apart, the amplifier and all the stuff is a very small part of it. And I want it to be AirPlay. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I can use my Raspberry Pi as an AirPlay server or throw a relay in there so it only powers on when I'm streaming, and I'll, you know, put it in a smaller container and it'll just be my cool AirPlay box that I hook up to some speakers.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, you can, for what, that's kind of what the HomePod is in, you know, like that. That's at least 75% of what the HomePod is a really good, really good AirPlay speaker. It just happens to also have Siri on it. So you can actually
limited just, Siri, by the way.
Well, right? I mean, you can do it. You can have her play music for you, which is going to be a big part of it. Although there's going to be, I mean, for me, if I had one, it would constantly be streaming from Pocket Casts and pulling up like, Apple, Beats One past shows streaming from my phone. So I mean, for me, it's one of those things that like the only disadvantage to me is if I'm spending, how much is it? $400?
$350.
Okay.
$350.
That's not unreasonable. But if I'm spending that amount of money, I kind of want it to sound real good. I would buy it if I was financially in that position. Because it hits that need for me where I want an AirPlay speaker. But yeah, like you guys were saying, a lot of the reviews, I feel like we'll probably get it wrong. But then again, you have the, power.
Because they're going to focus on Siri. They're going to focus on the assistant part.
Yes.
Yes.
In a big way. And it's just not designed to be that. I'm almost a little bummed because Siri was really shoehorned in there. So I guess my hope is that when the product finally releases that we find out the reason that for the delay was not the speaker part itself, which, you know, some people have already heard, right?
Right.
At least the prototype or whatever Apple had available early and said it sounds amazing. Because that was really the focus on it, right? It was supposed to be this really high-end, really great wireless speaker. And then the Siri team found out, or the rumor is this, you know, the Siri team or somebody found out that that was going on, and they saw the Amazon stuff taking off, and they said, well, we've got to do that. And then they sort of tried to merge the two together. But my hope is that the extra time taken was almost all on the Siri part, and making sure that the things that it does do on the Siri side, it does really, really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe that they expanded some of that from what we know about it too. It would be nice if there was more Siri functionality in it than what we've already heard about, which is pretty limited. And that's where the negative reviews are going to come from, I think, is the fact that it is so restricted and limited. If you're trying to compare it to like a Google Home or an Echo.
Right. I think it'll be pretty interesting to see these first reviews. It has potential to be a very interesting product. It also has potential to be another iPod Hi-Fi.
Yep.
Yeah, totally agree. I'm so worried about that.
Yep. Okay, so yeah, we'll probably see that thing come out next month. With that, let's do some picks, and I'll let Jeff go first.
Oh, all right. So my pick this week, and not for the reason that everyone is thinking I'm picking it, I'm picking the Google Arts and Culture app on the iPhone.
Okay.
And the reason people are thinking I'm picking it is because they added in the thing where it scans your face, or it takes a photo of your face, whether you're doing a selfie or you actually take a photograph of a photo of yourself. And then it compares that to art portraits from museums around the world. So it looks at old art and then says, yeah, here's your artistic twin, and it shows you a painting of something, and so people are going crazy over it. So it's a cool thing, and it's a lot of fun because now you're getting exposed to works of art that you otherwise may not have known about. But the other thing is, it's actually been a really cool app for quite a while to learn about all different types of art in museums around the world, art that you may not otherwise get to experience. And so there's like articles about different works of art. And then they'll have different topics that they'll take or pick up and then just kind of run with and show art that relates to whatever that topic is. So it's just a really cool art exploration app. And now it has a thing where it will search for your artistic selfie.
That's fun.
And it's free.
Yeah.
So Google Arts and Culture.
Sweet. I'm downloading it now. Adam.
All right. I found it. I found the app that, cause I wasn't sure what I was going to pick. But I went through the website, and then I guess I hadn't picked this one over here yet. I know I've picked it on other shows. It is a game, and it is incredibly gorgeous game. A lot of fun. A like puzzle style game called Goa. That's really hard to say.
You
didn't pick
that.
This here, Jeff, did you, right?
I did not.
Okay.
But and so what yes, it's a beautiful game.
It is this beautiful, gorgeous game. I want to say it's like $4.99.
Yes.
No in-app purchase. You buy it straight up. My only complaint about it would be that I got through it pretty quickly, but I definitely got my $5 worth of value out of it. I probably finished it in, I'm guessing, 4 hours or so. But what it is it's this beautiful hand-drawn artwork, and you have these different panels that you're interacting with. So you see these images in these panels, and then you tap on the panel and you can zoom in to various panels. And you might have 1, 2, 3, or 4. There's kind of 4 slots on a little grid where you can have these panels. And what'll happen is some of the panels you can pull away and create kind of a negative space area. And then you realize there's a whole nother scene behind that panel that you can then interact with. And then to go through the puzzles, you have to use the panels and the different openings and different things in different various ways to kind of get through the story. And it's an entire story all told just with the pictures.
Huh.
So you're interacting with these pictures, and it is it's got an amazing soundtrack, and it's just, I really love the art style that goes along with it. And you're basically trying to kind of figure out what the story is and then gather these little elements as you go throughout the game by solving different sort of visual puzzles that you have to do. So I love puzzle style games. This one is a really, really great one. So it's Goro Goa, G-O-R-O-G-O-A. Thank you.
I was looking it up because I knew you were going to get stuck on the spelling because it's weird.
Yeah. It's a weird name.
Link in the show notes. All right. So my pick is Infuse 5, actually. And I like it a lot. And I started using it again because Air Video. So I have some H.265 videos that I like to stream from my Mac. And Air Video HD, just even though iOS 11 supports native playback, Air Video has not been updated, which was my go-to for streaming videos. And Infuse is like chock full of incredible video streaming and, I guess, playing in general abilities. So it's by Firecore. The awesome folks at Firecore. You can stream videos via PC, a NAS device, HTTP link, SFTP, just any way that you could possibly stream a file, you could stream it. You can import videos from other apps. You can actually load videos from your computer into the software. So if you're like hopping on an airplane, throw some videos on there, you can do that. It has, drag and drop file transfers, all kinds of stuff. But the big thing about it is it's very pretty. It's got a great user interface and it plays pretty much anything. So it does MKVs, AVIs, MP4s, WMVs, all kinds of stuff. Like I said, it does hardware decoding of H.264 and H.265. It'll organize stuff for you. It'll, pull up thumbnails and descriptions and just so many things it does, and it's free.
So VNC, but pretty and useful?
No, not VNC at all. It's for videos.
Yeah, that's what VNC is. Not VNC, VLC.
VLC. Yeah, it is like VLC, but like pretty and good. And actually more powerful than VLC, to be honest, because I couldn't get VLC to stream for me. I could really only load stuff on there. So yeah, it works better than VLC. So I use it on my iPad. I also use it on my Mac. And one of the cool things is, I have, certain folders on my Mac that I stream from often. So you can set those up as like favorites. So whenever I want to stream something from that particular location on my Apple TV, I just open the app, have a nice little presentation of all the stuff. I can hit play, all the native playback controls. It's great. So it's like the best. It's the best video playback app.
Cool.
That you can get for iOS.
VLC should be able to stream. I mean, it does RTSP and all that stuff. So
it has been a giant pain in the butt. I could not get it to stream over SFTP.
Hmm.
So this is, it's user friendly on top of being able to, be a universal opener kind of deal. The only bummer is it doesn't do remote playback like Air Video did. But honestly, other than that, it's great and it's free. So this is one of those apps you just want on your device.
Cool.
And you can upgrade to get. So with Pro, you can play up to like 4K Ultra HD stuff. You get, you can do AirPlay and Google Casting from it, which, is honestly not even necessary because you can just throw it on your Apple TV. But yeah.
Oh, so does that, I mean, does that then add that functionality that you just said wasn't there?
Remote video?
Or, no, it just adds AirPlay, not remote.
It just adds AirPlay. Okay. Yeah.
What do they charge for the Pro upgrade? Do you know?
I think it's, I should have that pulled up. I think it might be $5. Maybe cool. 10, maybe 10 for a year. So it's a subscription-y thingy.
What's it called?
Infuse. You haven't heard of it?
I probably have.
So it's Infuse 5. Yeah, so you can get Infuse Pro.
You probably own it and just forgot.
Oh, it's the yes, it's the FireCore thing.
Yeah, like I said. I said all of this. Sorry. Things. Yeah. So you can get Infuse Pro. That. The yearly price is $10, and if you can do monthly, and you can even do a lifetime Pro for $45. But you're going to love it. If you need to do this stuff, this is like the perfect app. So yeah, check it out. You can find all of our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Send your feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. You can review the show in iTunes, give us some stars, tell a friend. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the Mattcast, mattcast.com, and at Mattcast on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Adam.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, the TMO Daily Observations podcast, and at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
It's always awesome. I feel like we get to have our own little party every week.
Yeah. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll talk to you next time on The iOS Show.
An internet. How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?